Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, Wormo!
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And today we are joined by special guest, Ethan. God damn it, Ethan!
Hey! I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's
you did
all right.
Just outline how this was going to go.
It's all right, Ethan. Every single guest gets it wrong.
Yeah.
And today we're going to be looking at Death's Door and other games. Death's Door is a new indie game that has come out and blown me. You, Jackson, you,
yes.
Ethan, Zamet, Andrew Levins, the entire internet away because of how...
Gamers across the country.
Goddamn sick this game is.
It's so good.
It's pretty good.
It's so good. It was published by Devolver, developed by Acid Nerve. See, this is how much this game rules. I actually know this stuff.
That's crazy.
Usually I'd be like, oh, it's for the PlayStation, I think.
It's for the PlayStation. Is there a PlayStation X?
Did it come out this year? I don't know. Did I find it in a bin?
Yeah, I can't say.
This time I can tell you, it came out this week. By this week, I mean the week we're recording it, which is last week for you, the listeners. Devolver very kindly sent me a review code, which is something that I'm grateful for every single time we get one,
yeah.
Because I know that at some point that's going to be taken away from me when they listen back to Thumb Cramps. They're like, you've got a big audience, but a bad podcast.
We are absolutely running on borrowed time for any kind of gift, a code or whatever. The moment they hear anything that comes out of our mouths, they're like, oh, can we take your Switch off you?
Like we
and your computer.
You only gave us a couple of games. You didn't give us any consoles. Too bad. Too bad.
We're taking your thumbs away. No more playing video games.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be like, well, oh, no. I mean, like, I totally understand, but you got to understand this is a bit of a bummer for me. An expected
no more
bummer.
Thumbs up. How sad. You could never show approval again. Is
yeah,
that
I know.
Good? Yes!
Why are you making a fist at me?
No!
Are you trying to fight?
I approve!
I'll bash you! I will bash you! And we'll deserve all of those bashings that come our way when we attempt to give people thumbs up but accidentally shake our fists and therefore get into fights and lose.
Yeah. We deserve it, though.
But yeah, Death's Door is so good that I got the review code for it. I selfishly immediately used it on myself, started playing the game, then told everyone to also play it. Jackson was dragging his feet a bit, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy you the game so you can play it too.
That's
crazy. I
even
think I was dragging my feet a bit. You and Zamet had a conversation where you decided I was dragging my feet. I came into that chat. I saw you being like, Jackson's not getting it. The dog. I'm like, not getting what? The piece of shit. Then I left because I was getting bullied. And then I saw on Steam that you bought me a gift copy. And I went back in and was like, oh, thanks, I guess. That's nice of him. I was thinking about getting it myself. But I guess Dusha and Zamet bullied the I don't know what happened there, but it was funny.
The gift message, I can't remember what the first sentence said, but the second message says, if you don't play this, I will kill you.
Yeah.
So,
And I did, so I'm safe for another day.
So Death's Door, I haven't even mentioned the game. I've just said the title a whole bunch and who made it and who published it. And that's about it so far. But I'm here to tell you, the Death's Door is kind of like, it kind of reminds me of A Link to the Past meets Hollow Knight, sort of.
For me, it's almost maybe more, and like this, things get compared to this game so much that it's almost like a trope.
You're going to say Souls?
Yeah, it's a bit Soulsy in that. I guess there's rolling and big bosses, but it's a little Soulsy. You know what I mean?
A little Soulsy.
It has the vibe of Hollow Knight and the difficulty of Hollow Knight, but doesn't have the exploration of Hollow Knight. No. It's more like A Link to the Past kind of puzzles and exploration. And has a very isometric? Is that it? I should know. No.
Yeah. It's sort of like the isometric perspective and sort of like it looks like tile-based map design, even if it's a bit more freeform than that.
Anyway, you play as a bird in this world. All crows are grim reapers, basically. You're sent through a door to collect a soul, which you're meant to bring back. Things go wrong in your first mission and you get stuck in this in-between world and you're not allowed to return to your job as a reaper until you claim the soul that you were meant to claim.
You say all crows are grim reapers. Is that true? Or is it just all grim reapers are crows?
Yeah, I don't know if they...
Are you sure?
Yeah,
you know what? All reapers are crows, not the other way around.
You made a big lore claim then. Yeah,
we're not sure about the bigger picture.
Yeah. But, so you pretty much start, you're armed with a red sword that is reminiscent of a lightsaber, and you also have a bow and arrow that is made of the similar energy. And yeah, you're pretty much thrown into situations where there is general enemies just like around that aren't too difficult, but this game is mostly big boss fights, which are all look beautiful, are hectic, and are hard.
Yeah, love for that. Sure.
Souls-like.
Souls, one could say, not dissimilar to the Souls series, yeah.
Unlike something like Hollow Knight where... Like, I love that game so much, but I can absolutely understand if people lose interest in the first hour or two because the game doesn't hold your hand to a point where it's, like, quite difficult to get into. With Death's Door, it doesn't hold your hand, but the game kind of reveals itself and how to play and what it is way quicker. Like, within, I reckon, half an hour. If you play the first half an hour, you're going to get sucked in very easily.
Mm. Yeah, these games usually don't sort of grab me as immediately as Death's Door has. Like, I got sucked right in.
For sure.
I think I've actually... Because I've played the start of this game twice. Because what I did was I played it for about 2 hours by myself and then streamed the first 2 hours again with the Twitch audience and got a little bit further. And then I continued that save for my game. And every new area looks different. All the boss fights, even though the techniques may be similar, which is hit them with your sword and your bow and arrow. Like, all feel so different and look so cool. You unlock new abilities and you unlock, like, upgrades and stuff like that, but not too many. It doesn't fall into the problem that a lot of other games have, which is like, hey, idiot, you got to upgrade your armor, you got to upgrade your sword, you got to collect this thing, you got to collect that thing.
There's none of that, like, sitting in a goddamn, like, menu screen comparing the different percentage of critical hit chance that your two identical swords will give you.
Yeah, yeah, like, oh, this one's 5.9 critical hit, this one's 6.1, but this one has, like, a 0.8 chance of something else. And where this is just, like, the only, like, build-up collectible things there are the equivalent of, like, heart containers. So collect 4 of these shard things, you get more health. And there's another 4. There's another different colored shard thing. Collect 4 of those, you get more magic. Magic is your bow and arrow.
Yeah.
I know you're both playing this, and I imagine you're probably up to a similar point as me. But I unlocked the first new ability, and it was fire. Sorry, Jackson. I know you hate when fire abilities.
That is my most loathed ability in video games.
Jackson thinks that if you're given the ability to shoot fire, be fire, anything fire, boring. Yawn.
Yeah.
Might as well put nothing in there.
That's ridiculous.
Well, it's a gross misinterpretation of my words, Ethan. But
are we so sure about that?
Roll over like an old dog, you know.
It started from the claim that Jackson was like, if Breath of the Wild 2 has a fire ability that's the most boring ability and I'd prefer nothing or something
like
that.
Oh, I remember that. That was
crazy. In the Sheikah Slate, if in the Sheikah Slate you get a fire ability when I already have the fire ability in other weapons, what's the point?
I agree with that.
There was no other weapons part last time.
There was absolutely, but you were already, you'd made your decision.
You were comparing it to Din's fire, being like, we've seen it before, I don't need to see it again, because you forgot about fire arrows, and then when we brought that up, you said, no, that's fine.
Yeah, because it is. Anyway.
Jackson hates fire. It's boring. It's boring. He hates it. Give me nothing.
It is a bit boring, even without the Breath of the Wild thing. It's probably my least favorite ability to get in games. That's fair.
Jackson thinks that if you get a fire ability in a game, they should just roll credits there. The game's done. They've run out of good ideas.
If most games just ended when I pressed start, my life would be so much better.
But this game also, something I haven't touched on, has like a lot of life and like likability built into the game. So it's like a relatively dark story, as you can probably tell from the fact that you are literally a reaper sent to kill people who are often like, I'm not ready to die yet. and I don't want to reveal too much because I know that there's a very, like, very funny thing that happens that I wasn't expecting after like the first big boss fight. But it really sets the tone for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I should have played up a bit more. I'm only like 45 minutes in.
No stress. You'll talk about a game later on that I own but have never actually installed on my PlayStation.
You have it.
Jackson throws up when he thinks about it. Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Jackson's going to hate this game.
I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah, but yeah, like the world feels really lived in. There's a lot of like NPCs that aren't necessarily just like puzzle solving NPCs. Like you don't have to talk to them to get a thing or anything like that. They're just like there to fill up the world, including in the office where you first start, where there's just like a lot of crows that are doing like desk work for the Reapers, being like, ugh, you killed the wrong guy. This is going to be way more work for me. There's a security guard called Ball Plot, which is insane.
That's very funny.
Yeah, it's just like a super likable game, and it's funny, but without trying too hard to be funny. Like, characters are just like sometimes, like, it's like quite dry humor. Other times, it's a little bit more wacky, but you're like, whatever. If I'm sick of the wacky stuff, I just want to talk to this goddamn guy again.
For sure.
Yeah. This is absolutely a game I'm going to play to completion very, very soon. The more I'm talking about it, the more I wish I was playing it rather than talking to you guys. No offense, Ethan. Full offense, Jackson.
Yeah, yeah. I assume.
I understand.
And yeah, if you have, it's the honestly, the only qualms I have with this is it's only on PC and Xbox currently, which means that there's a lot of people that can't play it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It screams Switch game.
Definitely coming to the Switch. It's surely absolutely at some point.
It's probably already in the works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give it 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that what's probably going to happen is because it's such a small development team, they might have like deal, because apparently, and I obviously am nowhere near this, but apparently I've heard from my good friend Andrew Levins, who 100%ed it before it even was released, which is insane because that means there was no help. He just had to do it blind.
He figured it out. Yeah.
That's crazy.
The post-game stuff apparently rules, which makes me think the development team might have like DLC in mind.
You can kind of see that it's got such like you're coming back to this area when you get this or whatever energy, which I love. Like going through levels and like I don't know, I just see a huge door and I go up to the door and I'm like, well, that's not for me right now, I guess. But like that I'll be back here, I've got no doubt. You know,
a little gift for me in the future.
You encounter one of those pretty early on, don't you?
Yeah,
like there's a door with like 6 holes in it.
Yeah, yeah, in the first sort of hub world, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what it does, but I'm excited to go through it.
What is behind the 6-hole door?
Who knows?
More doors? We'll find out.
More doors, more holes? Who knows?
Maybe behind the one door with 6 holes is two doors with like 10 holes.
Oh, no.
That'd be the sickest.
That would be awesome, dude. That would be really cool.
Give me more holes and doors.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only upgrade I want in further games.
A door
more
DLC.
More holes and doors. More holes just to go in, to look at. I'd really like that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But yeah, this has very much, and I know I keep comparing it to this, but it has very much like Hollow Knight vibes in the sense that it might, they might, because it's a small development team, they might be focusing more on like a DLC or something, yeah, or more post-game stuff, and then they'll combine it all together and kind of optimize it for the Switch and drop it there. Because this game at the moment is quite deceptively, like graphically very strong.
Yes. Yes. For sure.
Like it's fully 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even if you look at like some of the system requirements required for it when you're running it off a PC, you're like, oh, that's a bit beefier than I would have expected.
Yeah, those can be kind of deceptive, though, because like they just sort of tested on whatever they got, especially with a small development team. That could just be like the recommended specs could just be, this is the only AMD graphics card we have, and it is really good.
Yeah, for sure.
So this is all we can confirm you need. We are so sorry.
That's true. Anyway, as you can probably tell, this is the easiest five thumbs of all time. Five thumbs, very, very, very good game. Wish I was playing it right now. What have you been playing, Jackson? It better be good.
Well, you're going to be mad at it because it's a game I have fun with my friends with. So. You don't like it when I have a good time with my friends, so get ready. it's a game called Pulsar Lost Colony, and I guess it's like imagine Kerbal Space Program, but sort of first person and maybe a little bit more involved and with a lot more to do. It's one of... Yeah, Dusha's already got an unhappy look on his face.
You're so bad at Kerbal Space Program. How could you possibly be good at this?
Not Kerbal Space Program. Faster Than Light. Sorry, I got them confused. Yeah. So it's kind of in that, like, you're in a spaceship together. The spaceship has various systems within it that you need to pay attention to and that you need to control. And you move throughout a massive, very detailed, very full universe of planets and missions and quadrants or whatever, completing little missions for various factions and upgrading your systems and upgrading yourself and making money. It's like just one of those sort of games like that, except obviously it's a, I think, a five-player co-op game, and each person takes one of the roles on the ship. So that could be captain, where you sit Kirk-style in a chair in the middle of the bridge, pilot, which is what I've taken because it's the least complicated. scientist, I don't know what you do. Engineer, I don't know what you do. And weapon specialist, I don't know what you do.
Have you only played as pilot?
Good. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I've looked at the screens that my friends have to look at to keep the ship functional, and I do not understand. Cooling, and there's a big core in the back that can blow up and does. So, yeah, I don't know. But
I had a look at the game's website, and they've got a manual on it.
You got to read the manual.
Tells me all I need to know about the complexity of this game.
Yeah.
True.
If I need to read external knowledge.
Well, Ethan, if you go to the pilot section, you'll see it's the smallest section of the manual. All you need to know is what will, the two different ways to control the ship. One is a little bit more detailed and one is a little bit more complex. And then you're good. And you don't need to worry about anything else other than flying around or whatever. Most of your job as pilot, I found, is angling up to the next star system so that the engineer can warp drive you to wherever you need to go. That's 99% of my job, and I love it. I chuck on some jazz.
Human error.
In the background, yeah. And I just chill out and pick the direction where to go. But occasionally we will enter, you'll warp into a quadrant that'll immediately be full of hostiles, and then all of a sudden you've got to become like an ace fighter pilot and, angle yourself or whatever so that you can take out the other ships, which is a lot of fun too, because you're in like a third person perspective flying the ship around. And it's a lot of fun doing that, but being intimately aware that inside you right now, basically, are all of your friends who are also all paying attention to shit. And so Adam, friend of the show, Adam Carnevale, he's our captain. And it's really fun to have him. He's barking orders the whole time. You're hearing shit going on behind you, but that you're not paying attention to. You're just hoping stuff's going to work out for you or whatever. Like you're... I was in one fight. I had to get underneath the ship because that's where we fire from, the roof of our spaceship. I'm flying underneath. Engines go out. I'm like, what's happening? Scientists yelling. We're getting hacked. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. It's fun. It's kind of what, you know, every time I played Faster Than Light, I was like, this is fun, but I wish that I could have individual people in charge of individual jobs on the ship. Mm. And this game has clearly taken that idea and kind of run with it and realized it. Mm-hmm. Another thing I really like about it is that I have no idea. I've never looked at a wiki. I've never, like, looked at the website or whatever. I just don't know what the depth of this game is. So every new thing that we come across is exciting and bright. I just don't know what's possible yet, which I like.
Yeah.
We had to fly in an asteroid at some point. That was scary.
That is scary.
I had to angle myself, and everyone was like, Jackson, the ship's on fire. And I was like, shut up. Shut up. I got to get deep in this asteroid. That was fun.
Why do you need to know that the ship's on fire?
Yeah, it's not my problem. Job. That's their job to put the ship out. And then I burned to death. So they weren't even doing their job.
So just going back to something you said ages ago.
Sure.
When you said, when you're flying the ship,
yeah,
are you seeing, you said it's in third person, but you mean third person of the ship, right?
Yes,
are you watching yourself? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, not third person of myself. That would be a hard way to
pilot the ship.
That'd
be way harder.
No, third person of the ship.
But when the other crew members are playing, are they playing in first person?
Yeah, they're playing in first person.
So they're
and
running
also,
around. Yep.
Yeah, I can also go into first person and try and fly the ship like that, but that would be a bad idea. I could not see. I did it once and we collided with some space debris and I got in trouble. I was like, oh, okay, I'll stop. I also keep trying to do tricks, which I like. So there's like warp holes that you can go through to get really far into the galaxy without using too much fuel or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to go through this one backwards. Shouldn't have done that.
No.
But I felt cocky when I did it.
With skateboarding in the Olympics now, maybe you doing space tricks should be more well received by your
Should
crewmates.
Be in the Olympics, I think.
Yeah.
Put me in
Agreed.
The Olympics. We have it's five player co-op. So obviously that's all of the different systems. We only have four people when we play. So we have an AI that takes care of our weapons. And his name is Weapon Bot, but it's shortened to Weep Bot, which I don't know. That's funny. and he's great. He takes care of a lot of problems for us that we don't. I am the only human on the ship because you could be a human, like a lizard man or a robot. And I'm also the only one who requires oxygen, so that's frightening. There's a lot of small kind of systems in this that you don't really pay attention to, but that you know are happening around you. It's the kind of game that I think would be great to play on, like, Twitch or something, to get a crew together and play it. But it's also the kind of game where you need to be pretty unified to be good at it and to get far in the game. Mm. And I know that if I played it with, you two and Adam... We wouldn't get, we would die. We're not unified enough.
No,
for this
you put Hayden in anything and it goes bad, obviously.
Yeah.
He I reckon we'd be
science.
Fine.
I don't think science has to do much, maybe. But then I don't know.
If Sea of Thieves is anything to go by, I'm going to be delegated to like spooning water out of the spaceship for an hour while you fix a
spaceship's
hole.
Spaceship's flooded, Ethan. You gotta build.
Yeah, it's good because
gotta build.
Yeah, be like, hey,
back on builds duty. Thanks, Jackson.
Hey,
get wood.
I tried to fly the spaceship backwards through the warp hole and I collided with an asteroid because I couldn't see it. The ship's now flooding with water. Can you please patch the hole for 90 minutes, Ethan?
Thank
I'm
you,
gonna
Ethan.
Go do cool
I also
stuff.
Don't have anything to patch it with.
You're just gonna get rid of the water and chuck it out into space. I'm gonna do barrel rolls. Yeah, sick man.
Another thing, Jackson, is so you've said that you've purposely, well, maybe not purposely, but you've done it regardless. Tried not to learn how the game works.
Yeah.
Do you think that when you figure out how the game works, it's going to get bad for you? Because that seems to be a trend for you.
I think, I don't know, by how the game works, I just mean that, like, so the various missions that you can do at the moment to me seem really varied. So, like, we sometimes have to land on a planet, and these are the various missions we've done. We had to go into an asteroid and blow it up under a time limit before it hit Earth. And the closer it got to the planet, or not Earth, but a planet, the closer it got to the planet, the more on fire it and the ship became. Mm-hmm. We've had to land on an alien planet and go investigate a evil temple with a ghoul monster in it. We've had to explore a big abandoned space station and do like a bunch of missions there. We've had to go fight an ant colony. We went onto a destroyed spaceship that had like a shadow man on it. So like all of these things, I don't know if that's it. And I think if I went in the wiki and I read that, like, here are the 8 kinds of missions you can do, and these are just the variations or whatever, that might not wreck it for me, but I might be like, oh, okay, that depth...
Lose the magic of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like how when you're a kid and you play, say, Pokemon Blue for the first time, you're like, I have no idea what this game could throw
at me. What the potential is. Yeah,
I don't know. I just don't know. I'm 8 or whatever, and who knows? Which is why I think the discovery of Kanto... No. Johto? No, Kanto.
Kanto when you're in Johto, yeah.
When you're Johto. It destroyed our tiny wieners because we were like,
yeah,
games can do anything. And I think a lot of us have been chasing that high ever since because it's never sure. come back. When was the last time you had a moment like that where you're like, oh, doesn't happen twice? Has there been a moment in gaming where you have had the same level of like, holy shit, there's so much more game than finding Kanto and Johto? Because I don't think we've ever beaten it.
Oh,
and I think the crushing disappointment we all felt playing Ruby and Sapphire and realizing we couldn't go back to anywhere else, it traumatized us as a generation.
Yeah, I think Red Dead 2 gave me that sense, but in a more mixed positive and negative sense of just like, I'm 60 hours in, and then we go... Yeah. To another landmass, and it's like there's more game.
You're like,
are you kidding me?
Kill,
put
me out of my misery.
It was more just shock than anything.
Yeah, fair.
Nier Automata did it.
Oh yeah,
for me. Because Ethan, I know that you have sort of started playing it. You finished the game, and it's a full game. No, it's all right. It's all right. These aren't spoilers.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
You finished the game, and it's like the full game, the full story. But you're like, oh, that had like a lot of threads that weren't like pulled on, but that's fine. Like, that's just the type of game. Maybe I miss side stories. And then if you go to New Game Plus, the game starts and you're playing as a different character.
Oh, that's wild.
There's actually three.
There's a B story.
There's a C story as well. You have to finish the game 3 times to get
the
full game.
That's great. Yeah. That's more of that in game.
That's crazy.
So some of it.
No, I love that. That's wild.
Yeah. So some of it, Ethan. And audience is the same as the first playthrough, so it still does feel like a New Game Plus at some points, but then other parts of the game deviates very wildly.
Fair. That's very cool. So you see what I mean by, like, I just don't want to know... It's not that I don't want to know how the game works, it's I don't want to know what the game's got in store for me. I want to come across it naturally, because that's far more exciting. And playing as the pilot and not having any of the knowledge of what's happening and Adam having it all is kind of fun as well. Arriving in a system and Adam being like, oh, don't shoot anybody. If we just shoot these people, we'll lose reputation. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but okay. Also, I don't know when this happened, but in this game, everybody's given me the nickname Officer Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. I wonder what that could possibly reference, Jackson.
Yeah, but I don't. I never consent.
You don't watch
it.
The news, so you don't understand.
I don't know. I don't get what it means. Yeah. Who's Jeff Bezos? What?
What?
That's a silly name. But yeah. So and Adam's figured out a way to make custom commands. So every time we have to fly to a new quadrant, he says, "Charge it up, Bezos," which is funny.
That's it.
So yeah, I'm really liking it. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of exactly the kind of thing that I look for in a video game to play with friends. If you're looking for something that you can like kill quite a few hours with your friends with, that has a lot of progression and a lot of depth to it, I recommend it. Pulsar Lost Colony. Check it out.
Cool,
what about
cool.
you, Ethan? What have you been playing?
Oh, man. So, I have been playing the 2021 PS5 re-release of the 2020 Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is a remake of the 1997 Final Fantasy VII.
Hell yeah!
I'm already sick. Come on.
So, this game was probably my game of the year in 2020, although I did not play many games in 2020, mind you. It was like a few
That's
big
okay.
three.
That's all right.
Yeah. This game, I love it. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. But the combat is so clean. The story is so well executed. The characters are so likable. The music is so good. It's just hard to not call them a game of the year at that time. But this one, this is a PlayStation 5 re-release. I've played the game already. This adds quite a lot when you get the DLC, which is a shock.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'll run through the base game and then sort of talk about improvements as it goes on. Because there's a lot of graphical improvements, which is
That's sick.
So nice.
That's good.
So are you guys familiar with Final Fantasy VII? Final Fantasy VII
no!
Remake?
I can say a lot of Final Fantasy words at you.
Yeah.
Let's
go. Go on.
Sephiroth, Chocobo, Cloud.
They're names. They're not words.
They're also
what's
words.
Up with that?
Rhyme City?
I don't know, man.
No, Rhyme City seems wrong.
Yeah.
So it's Rhyme City.
Or Rhyme City is not Final Fantasy VII, because Final Fantasy VII is like Midgard?
Midgard. Well, it starts in Midgard. Yeah. So that's the funny thing about this game being a remake. It is, it extrapolated the first 8 hours of the original Final Fantasy into a 30-hour game.
Jesus.
Which sounds rough.
They the hobbited it.
I don't know how they could have made this game much shorter. It's just the modern pacing of a AAA sort of JRPG. They were sort of force their hand with that, with modern storytelling techniques, modern gameplay techniques and that. But
yeah,
it works best this way, because if they tried to cram that whole game into, because there's like, I don't know, 50 different locations. I've never played the original. Who knows?
Yeah.
Into this one, it would have been a lackluster product. And
yeah,
it was definitely the best course of action. But Final Fantasy VII takes place in the city of Midgar. Well, VII Remake takes place in the city of Midgar, which is this giant, industrious, corporate-owned city built on top of these slums that the main characters sort of live in. You as Cloud Strife.
Great name.
Yeah, it's crazy. The game is full of crazy names.
Jackson. I wish your name was Jackson Strife.
Do you want to know where I got Rhyme City from?
Yeah.
Where?
Detective Pikachu.
It's close. I'll give you that. Oh, yeah.
Jackson, can you just quickly Google Final Fantasy VII and click images and let me know how far you get before you want to throw up?
Okay.
Yeah, this game's a bit anime.
A bit?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just
a little bit. Like, only the main characters look anime. All the side characters look like guys.
Second image,
kind of fun.
Dude.
Second image.
Yeah, I actually love, I googled Final Fantasy VII. I love the way Cloud Strife looks in Final Fantasy VII. His arms are hourglasses. It's awesome.
Yep. It's pretty sick.
I wish I looked like that. That's my ideal body. But the way he looks in the new one makes me want to absolutely chuck my guts up.
You just want to be tubes and balls.
Yeah, I do. Sounds like. I would have no nose and a permanently grumpy expression. I would roll. Yeah. And I want my hair to look like electricity. Man, why don't I look like Cloud Strife? That sucks.
I wish I had answers for you. Be the change you want to see in the world, Jackson.
Okay. Time to get some very dangerous surgery. Very, very dangerous.
Wish you the best, dude.
Thanks. Thanks, man.
So you open this game with like big sweeping shots of Midgar that transition perfectly into the first mission where you are Cloud Strife hanging onto a train.
Yes.
You get introduced to the rest of the team, as you have been hired as a mercenary by the terrorist group Avalanche. So, this game is about helping the eco-terrorists of the city of Midgar. It's pretty based.
That is heaps based. Yeah, because I've only played the first like 2 or 3 hours of the original, because I got it when it was ported to Switch.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that definitely took me by surprise at the start of the game, because I don't think you're holding onto a train. I think you're just like in the back of a train carriage in the original, and it starts, and it's like, you're a mercenary hired to help this terrorist group. I was like, excuse me?
Yeah.
People don't talk about that part very much.
Well, so as the train pulls up to the station, Cloud does a cool flip after being called down by Barrett, the other party member that you can sort of play as. Barrett's a cool guy with a big machine gun on his arm. That's fun.
That is cool.
But yeah, your mission as you come in to the train station is to go blow up Mako Reactor 5. So Mako is sort of treated as the lifeblood of the world. It's a sort of ethereal magic thing that the Shinra Electric Company is sucking up to power the city of Midgar. And you're trying to stop them and stuff. So you're going to blow up a reactor, which is like dotted around the city. Each section has it.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was sort of the first experience you have with the game, not only because it's the first mission, but it's part of the demo that they released in 2019, which was so sick. Like, I had no intentions on getting this game. I'd never played Final Fantasy before. I didn't really care. Something switched like a week before the demo came out, and I'm like, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm a Final Fantasy boy now.
And I played it, and I'm like, I'm buying this game day one. I'm playing this game day one. It was weird. I think they got into my head. Yeah. I think Square Enix hacked me or something.
Square Enix hacked, dude. It happens.
But yeah, this is where you get your first look at the combat too, which is the absolute standout of this game. So like, the original Final Fantasy is a turn-based sort of format, which I do not like.
Me neither.
I don't put up with it very well.
Turn cringe.
Yeah. Yes! That's what I was going to say.
How rapid do you feel right now, Dusha? Yeah. Oh my God! I could be 26 right now. God damn, it feels good.
No, the turn-based stuff never really does it for me, so I'm glad that they reinvented it in this game a bit. It's real time, but they do it. It's really hard to explain. It's also running you through a fight.
Yeah, please.
Coming up with a fight. There's a lot of, you know, hit square, fight with your big sword. Mm-hmm. Cloud's got a really big sword. You probably see in the Google images the you're sword. Looking at. It's a massive sword.
It's pretty cool. Buster sword, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's a word. Buster sword. You did. Yeah,
I always think I get it confused with the sword in 8 that's also a gun.
That's pretty
gun
cool.
Blade?
Oh, the gun sword, yeah. Mm. Gun blade, yeah. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't have a barrel.
It's good. I hope they remake Final Fantasy 8 because not only is gun blade going to come back, but also that's the emo game in the series.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can get that in 2035 when they're done releasing the 7 remake.
Yeah, I guess. That's true.
But as you hack and slash your way with like usual sort of combat stuff, you fill up this thing called the ATB gauge. I don't remember what ATB stands for, but it's from the original game. Yeah, no, there we go. We all know. Yeah,
you're ready to fight.
But
now.
That allows you to open up.
You filled up your ATB gauge, and now you can fight the bad guy. That's great.
Yeah, that is good.
What it actually does is it lets you open up a commands menu and you get a few options. So the first one is abilities, and you get some special abilities, deal massive damage, and some other sort of things I'll get into. Mm-hmm. The second one is spells. So you can give yourself these things called materia, which are little balls of magic that you put in your weapons and on your wrist guards and stuff. It's a lot of item management. But they let you do cool things like cast fire. How do you like that, Jack?
My most loathed mechanic.
It's so good, Ethan, that you're committed to explaining this game for the audience and me, who are very invested. Well, Jackson just has to sit there and cop it. And every time you throw out a new term from the game, it looks like looks like the worm that has consumed his human skin is trying really hard to crawl out of his mouth.
All right. Let's see if we can kill Jackson. Jackson, ATB gauge, limit break, summons. How you feeling?
You're making me sick.
Yeah. No, but these are, you can use the abilities, the spells, which like let you access material, which don't just do like elemental stuff. You got the four elements there. Mm-hmm. They can also allows you to do cool stuff. Like there's this deadly dodge one, which like when you dodge and then you attack after that, it ups your damage, which is pretty sick.
Yeah.
There's an assess materia, which you get, which you can scan enemies with, and that lets you know their weaknesses and stuff, which is awesome.
Oh yeah.
But the abilities let you stagger and pressure enemies easier. And what that is under the health bar, there's a stagger gauge.
Yeah.
And as you hit them with stuff their enemies are weak to, it fills up the stagger gauge. And when they're staggered, they drop down. They cannot fight back. And you can just wail on them.
Yes.
And if you learn how to stagger properly, you can clear this game. It is so good when you can just like, you got this massive dude who's kicking your ass and you just stagger it. And it's like, my turn. This is my turn. And you just go to town on them.
That's sick. Well, it's funny that you rolled in to talk Final Fantasy VII because Zammit reviewed the demo here, really liked it, and then never, I don't think, ever bought the full game. Or if he did, never played it.
He never told us about it. Certainly.
That's crazy to me.
Kept to himself.
Yeah. The game is like a lot to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it when it was a PlayStation Plus free game. I think it was actually when they announced the PS5 version.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, hell yeah, I really want to play this, so I'll do that. And then I installed it, and then I bought a PS5, and then I didn't install it on my PS5, despite the fact I just installed it on my PS4 and never opened it.
Ethan, can you explain to me, I Googled Final Fantasy, and one of the things that came up was a character named Johnny, who's wearing what looked like some kind of three jeans. Can you explain this?
Oh.
What do you mean by three jeans?
Imagine shorts, okay, denim shorts, and then out of those denim shorts down to below the knee comes more jeans.
Yeah.
And then out of below the knee comes more jeans down into boots.
What?
Yeah,
what?
So, Johnny's a bit eccentric. So he's got like jeans, shorts.
I'll share it
under that,
you,
there's sort of like an extension of like, you know, cargo sort of pants with like
cuffs. He's wearing
another layer of those under that.
Yeah, he's got some three jeans.
It's pretty crazy.
So he's wearing jean shorts. He's wearing jeans, three-quarter jeans, and then jean shorts over the top of
yeah.
And no shirt. Yeah, and open jacket.
No shirt, denim, no leather jacket, I think. And a lot of wrist.
Check out his beard. Also, it's three tiger stripes.
That's powerful. Is that a beard? I thought that was a tattoo.
I think it's a beard.
Why is he? Who is he? What's going on?
He's Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny's sick. He looks like he should be in Virtua Fighter.
Any more questions?
I don't like his three jeans.
Jackson, shut character. Up.
Okay.
Three jeans is sick. Embrace the three jeans.
I mean, there is so much to this game. I really don't know, like, the best way to go around reviewing it. I'm just talking about things I like.
Yeah, that's
That's good. Is there anything you don't like?
Yeah, true. Anything bad about it?
Oh, there are a couple of sort of. So this was a game built for the PS4. So fundamentally, you're going to have a few sections that is just slow walking. You get into a corridor, you got to shimmy past some debris because they got to load the next section. And the PS5 section wasn't able to remove that, unfortunately. And there's also, I think there's two little sections of missions where you got to do this little monkey bar thing.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
And it's the clunkiest, most infuriating control scheme I've ever had to interact with.
Hell yeah.
It barely works. It's really slow and sluggish. Every time you turn, they got to do a 90-degree long animation every time.
Lord.
It's funny that you mentioned that there's just an aspect of this very critically acclaimed game that just sucks no matter which way you look at it, which is a classic Japanese development decision. I reckon every single game developed by like Capcom or Square Enix or even like the Kojima games, there's always just one part that's just cooked and you're like, why did they think this part would be fun?
Yeah, who is this for?
And the trick is, it was never meant to be fun. It's just there for some other reason.
Yeah.
Padding.
Yeah, exactly.
That stuff definitely feels like we need something to do right here. That isn't just walk up and interact with a thing. But yeah, with sort of like those little mini sections where they change up the way you interact with the game, or some of the side content is a bit lackluster compared to like how polished and like expressive the main game is.
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
okay, I'm being a bit lenient. Some of the side content is downright bad. And not fun.
Yes.
Okay. Like
one of it,
things
one
can
of it
be
is,
dog shit.
Yeah. One of the side quests I had to do was I had to find cats. Just search for
there
them.
There it is.
There's no quest markers or anything. I just came across one and then it ran away and I had to do that three times. None of the side missions was I had to find kids. There were kids hidden around and I had to go find them. No quest markers.
Did they do the same thing where when you went and got one, it ran away?
Yeah, ran away back to where it was meant to be.
Okay.
That sort of thing, which is weird. Yeah, that stuff definitely did need to be in it and probably could be a way to make the game shorter.
Was that a story mission or?
No, it was side quests. I think you have to do one or two. Okay. But the one or two ones are more sort of stock standard. Go out here and fight a thing. We need a thing for it.
Yeah.
For
yeah,
us.
Yeah.
Thank you. So it's,
thank you. God bless.
That's the sort of, the rest like, of your pulsory ones.
Much appreciated.
But yeah, it's like a modern AAA affair, I can see why they felt like they needed to chuck in a bunch of side quests to make it feel like a proper $60 experience.
Yeah.
How many thumbs? What do you reckon? How many thumbs for Final Fantasy Remake for the PS5? Like,
there's so much incredible stuff in it that like even the bad stuff I talked about can't make me take it away from like a five thumb.
Oh, five thumber.
Considering this is Integrate, which I did also buy the DLC, which is called Intermission, which was incredible value for money. Insanely.
Yeah.
Because I put 11 hours of playtime into that DLC. There's two new characters, new movesets, new traversal options, new story content. They dropped a teaser for the next game at the end of it. And it's just like,
oh, damn.
Just the amount of content that you get in this game and how fun it is. Like, I haven't even talked about the boss fights. This is like two boss fights every mission. It's insane. There's so many sick boss fights, and all of them are so unique and so cool. Like, there's so much to go in depth about.
I gotta play this goddamn game.
I'm just gonna tell you, I had fun with it twice, and it's really good. Worth your time. I love it.
That's a stellar review, really, isn't it? Mm. I had fun with it twice. How many games can you actually make that claim about? So few.
Yeah. Yeah, Jackson, for sure. You probably none. Like,
yeah, I would say none. I don't even have fun with games once most of the time.
In preparation for this review, I have been like replaying through the PS5 version. I haven't finished the PS5 version yet, but it's the same as the base game.
Yeah.
So that's my plan. I was just as a sort of refresher. And I was like, oh, I may as well just stream it on Twitch. Twitch.tv/EtherTaylor, ETHATAYLOR.
Yes.
Got to add the plug.
There'll be a link in the show notes.
Oh, thank you. I've just been playing it over there, and like people really love this game. People who have no idea what this game is come in and go, what on earth is going on? But then they turn around on it, and they get really excited about it. That's the power of Final Fantasy VII.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Those are words to live by.
And that was a beautiful review. Yeah. And Jackson, you survived.
I did. I came out the other side. I've got to see a doctor for sure, but...
Get that worm pushed back in your guts. Yeah.
The doctor will put a stethoscope to my heart and be like, oh no, and then put it multiple places on my body and be like, where's it gone? I don't know,
doctor. Oh no, Jackson became heartless from Kingdom Hearts. Ah! The one thing that would kill him faster than Final Fantasy.
Why is Mickey Mouse anime?
And while Jackson writhes around in pain pondering the question, why is Mickey Mouse anime? Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors.
Look what they did to my boy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thank you, sponsors. Jackson, you good?
Yeah, I'll be right. I'll be okay.
While we read through some emails that were sent to us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com, we promise not to mention the anime word.
Thank you, guys.
So this is from Brendan. Mm-hmm. Hey, thummies. Oh, don't know if I like that one. My dad's recently had spinal surgery, so he can't move off the couch for 6 weeks, in brackets of the dream. So he asked me to, he asked me for a game like Super Mario Brothers for him to play during recovery. The only problem is he only has a PS4 and refuses to get himself a Switch. What are some good dad games you would recommend for him to try out?
Whoa, that's tough. It's hard to go like Super Mario Brothers, because does he mean a platformer? Does he mean
with an Italian in it?
Yeah, exactly. For the PS4.
Not Final Fantasy VII, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a bit involved. No,
that will kill your dad.
Don't kill your dad with Final Fantasy VII.
His kidneys will explode. He'll be pissing blood.
Yeah. I'm Googling PS4 platformer.
The Google gods are on our side, because I started typing Mario-like, and the first thing that came up was Mario-like games for PS4.
Perfect. Mm.
All these seem involved, though. It says Celeste. Celeste will... like, knock that guy's socks off.
Sonic Mania? That's like...
You'll have to take him back to the hospital.
Sonic Mania is like Mario, but quick. Yeah?
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, Crash Bandicoot. Yeah, the Insane Trilogy. One.
Spyro Reignited, was that any good?
I don't know.
Spyro's good, but probably a bit involved for dad gaming.
Yeah.
Where Crash Bandicoot's just like, get to the end of the level.
Ratchet and Clank Reboot. Yeah.
That's a pretty solid one.
If he's a gun dad.
Yeah. That is true.
If he likes to run and gun.
Yeah, if you got a gun dad sitting there on the couch. Mm-hmm.
Mario
for him.
Famously has no gun. I forgot
What about
that.
Get him Knack 2?
Yeah.
Get him Knack 2 so that he looks at you and he's like, my child. Do you hate your father?
We're all talking about 3D platformers. What about Rayman Legends?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Rayman Legends or Shovel Knight. Yeah. Spelunky could do.
Not Spelunky.
No. Okay.
Don't buy your dad Spelunky. I feel like Rayman and Crash Bandicoot are probably the two big ones there.
For sure.
The Insane Trilogy is three games in one.
Yeah,
and they get slightly more and more involved. So if he plays them in order, he'll probably get better at it, and it can be a gateway game.
True.
Ooh.
Alternatively, steal his wallet, go buy him a Switch.
Yeah. Once he's got
and
it,
be like, deal with
Mario.
It.
Then buy a Nintendo 64 or a SNES and just get him Mario Brothers. Sorted.
Yeah. Ever thought of just playing Super Mario again?
Yeah.
Is what you want.
It's a good game.
This one is from Haunted Leg.
Whoa.
Dear Thumb Cramps, I often play Katamari. Typically, we heart Katamari on the PS2 when I am particularly stressed. But I've played it through so many times, would love another chill game to play. Do you have any recommendations of happy, no-stress games with good music? Ideally one where I am destroying the world or causing chaos in some form, as it is also when I feel the most zen.
That's a tough one.
Well, Katamari Damacy was re-released recently. So if you've only played We Heart Katamari, then you could always go back to that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of ones that are
kind
chill.
Of zen-y.
Yeah.
If you've got a PS4, or I think it also got released on Xbox and maybe PC, there's Wattam, which is made by the same developers.
Oh, yeah.
And is about solving puzzles and holding hands.
Yeah, making friends.
Not world-destroying, but there is definitely stuff that goes wrong in that game that is pretty... would usually be cataclysmic in a normal game, but in this game it's like, oh, no, the sun fell out of the sky and destroyed part of Earth. We just need to hold hands and send it back.
Yeah. I don't have any... I'm looking through my Steam library, and there's no games I have that are, like, chill for me or that I play to relax.
I feel like in Wattam, there's also a part where you got to send a phone to the moon because someone's calling for the moon, but you can't get the moon's attention and it can't hear that the phone's ringing.
I mean, that sounds like we nailed the question, really, Haunted Leg with Wattam. Sounds perfect.
I mean, personally, my favorite chill game is Minecraft, and that does involve digging big holes and tearing chunks out of the earth. So if you haven't given that a go.
That's true.
Minecraft is good.
Give that a go.
I know.
Throw on Minecraft and lo-fi hip-hop beats to study to.
Yes.
Relax. Just bliss out.
Have you seen the new terrain generation?
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
It looks cool
as hell. Big mountains to dig up.
Yeah, and big caves.
We gotta get
put
that Sans Pants server going.
We gotta get that. We've been talking about it for years.
I can't wait for them to add big bombs to Minecraft.
That would be
cool. I want to remove a mountain in one bomb.
Or guns.
Fair
call.
Yeah. Oh, guns in Minecraft.
Minecraft with guns,
novel
please.
Concept.
Then it would be the perfect game.
A bazooka patch. And finally, to bring us home, so Jacob has sent us an email, and the subject is questions for Zammit. And Ethan, Zammit's not here today, so you have to answer them.
Oh, good. All right.
How's it going, mates? I've got two questions for Zammit, as the subject said, and they both come from my former roommate, Woody.
Okay.
Okay, so Ethan, you might not know how to answer these, but you have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, let's go.
What is your Mass Effect 1 party?
Come on, Ethan, it's a simple question.
Jacob then says, I'm not sure if current or favorite, as I think you've played it many times. So, Ethan, apparently you've played this many times.
I've played it heaps of times. I'm a big fan of the lineup of Cloud, Barrett, Tifa, and Aerith, personally. That's sort of what I go
for. Great choices.
And male Shepherd.
Yes. I'm main male Shepherd. Main?
Boy Shep.
Boy Shep. Also, who is your favorite squad mate? Same applies.
Yeah. Oh, it's got to be Johnny with his three-piece jeans.
Yes! With the three jeans! Johnny with the three jeans for Smash, please.
Yeah.
Cheers, boys. Jacob.
You're welcome, Jacob.
Thanks, Jacob. I hope that helped.
Yeah. I think I nailed it.
And if you want to...
I think you did too.
And if you want to send us an email, you can just head to thumbcramspod@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can find us individually. We don't usually do this, but
now.
I've just decided we're doing it right now. Or you can find us individually. I'm at Douche13.
I'm at All Dogs Are Dead.
I'm at Ether Talo.
Hell yeah. Today's episode has been... Well, I gave 5 thumbs. Ethan gave 5 thumbs. Jackson, did you give 5 thumbs?
Yeah, I wasn't listening. I actually know if I gave a thumb score.
Yeah. Well, quick!
5 thumbs! It's good!
15 thumb episode! Anyway, until next time, don't cut off our thumbs, video games. We need them.
Please.
Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sanspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.